You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 42. This minute opens with Shaw and Ford putting the engineer head into a bag, and ends with David taking an ampule as the crew leaves the temple. Important question, where do you get Ziploc bags that big? I wonder if it was custom made for the film, or did someone in the props department have to waste a ridiculous amount of time hunting one down? It's one of those details I'm keenly aware of, having worked in costumes and collaborating with props people. Sometimes the most insignificant prop or costume ends up being the hardest one to source. Everyone is frantically trying to pack up and get out of there, but why must they rush back to the ship at all? Why not simply wait out the storm? They don't even need to worry about their oxygen supply anymore, as the air is evidently breathable. Before they left, Yannick warned them that it would soon be sundown, but no one ever mentioned a storm. Surely they would have been able to predict that well in advance? Meteorology works basically the same everywhere. We know a lot about the Great Red Spot on Jupiter, for example, and we've never even been there. The other thing worth considering is that while storms on Earth tend to be fairly short-lived, on other planets they might last centuries. The aforementioned Red Spot is estimated to have existed up to 350 years. So the crew of the Prometheus might be waiting a while. Granted, these kinds of storms are more common on gas planets, but even on Earth, storms can last weeks. So point one is that they should have been able to detect this storm before they even set off on their expedition. And point two is that they were better off remaining in the temple until the storm had passed. If it really came down to it, could the Prometheus move closer to the temple? It's a good long distance from the site. This may be to ensure the site is not damaged. Okay, what about the trucks? Could they travel in the storm? This is another situation that feels contrived in order to give us what is admittedly a very exciting scene as they race back to the Prometheus. I just wish they'd established the reason and the stakes better. That sums up this movie's problems in one sentence. It's got a lot of cool stuff, but the reasoning and motivation behind it doesn't make much sense. It's kind of like dream logic, which is perhaps the best way to approach Ridley's alien films. They're like nightmares, things just happen without rhyme or reason. And there's certainly an appeal to that. Vickers says she is closing the bay doors in 15 minutes, whether the crew make it or not. She does this lovely robotic turn as she walks away from the console. Is this merely an empty threat, or does she legitimately not care whether they live or die? I suppose if they fail, she can just go right back home, and that suits her just fine.
This is just another tomb.
Charlie's disappointment at not finding living aliens is a controversial point. On the one hand, I think most people in that situation couldn't help but get their hopes up. On the other hand, he is an archaeologist, and he knows that the engineers have not contacted us in centuries. Purely from a mathematical perspective, the odds of encountering an alien race is extremely remote. And if we do encounter aliens, or aliens encounter us, the odds of us both being alive at the same time is infinitesimally small. Speaking of which, I've been playing around with the idea for a short story where two AI probes encounter each other in the most remote region of space. They are both thousands, if not millions, of years old. Maybe they've augmented themselves in that time to keep themselves operational. When they eventually meet, they are ambassadors for civilizations long since dead. I felt like that is the most likely scenario. David takes an ampule, specifically choosing one that isn't overflowing with goo, and freezes it in liquid nitrogen. As he does this, he places his torch, or flashlight, in his mouth. I find it interesting that he even needs a torch to see. I guess it helps from a practical filming perspective to have another light source, but shouldn't he be able to see in the dark? And see in all kinds of spectrums we can't? Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TravianOr Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.